May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My thanks to Mother Abby for asking me to speak tonight. When Abby asked me to participate, my inclination was to decline, to say no. I've attended a few of these services, and I've watched several more online. I've heard many moving, spiritual, deep testimonies. I didn't feel that I had a story worth telling. Given the high bar set by my predecessors, I planned to say no. At one of our rector search committee meetings, I expressed my misgivings to Lina Knox, who has also been asked to speak. In her usual to-the-point manner, Lina told me that she could not point to a road to Damascus moment in her life, but she was going to talk anyway. Cricket Mannheimer laughingly told me that I could be the one who spoke for people who have no story to tell. So I get no respect at our search committee meetings, but here I am. My faith became real in my life at a pretty late age. As Abby said earlier, growing up at St. John's, I attended Sunday school, I sang in the youth choir, I participated in EYC, and I served as an acolyte. I attended church and did those things because my parents made me. It was a mandate. Except for EYC, that was fun. I enjoyed doing that. Church in general was you will go. In college and law school, church attendance pretty much ceased. I went on Christmas, Easter, special occasions, but that was about it. That pattern continued for several years after I finished school. Faith started becoming real for me during a period when my older sister was fighting a terminal illness. It was a terribly sad time for our family. During that time, however, for the first time in my life, I began to have serious conversations with God and prayers with God. As you might expect, the prayers ran the gamut, all types of requests for healing, for peace, for acceptance, but they were serious. And it was the first time. And as superficial as my younger years seemed to have been, the fact that I had gone to church and done all those things all my life, I think gave me a good foundation on which I could build when the time came and when the need came. The prayer could not eliminate the pain in my heart, but it gave me hope for the future. That was the point at which faith and real life had intersected. And that's the topic that Abby asked me to speak about. When did your faith intersect with your real life? It set the stage, hopefully, for faith and real life to intersect more often. Having become more open to that, where else has it happened? For me, it's been watching the role models in people around me. I think we all know very famous people whose lives are perfect examples of faith and life intersecting. A Mother Teresa, a Reverend Martin Luther King. For me, it was the people that were more immediate in my life. Soon after Susan and I married, we had the first of our three children. When I watched her patience and love and devotion to our three toddlers and toward me, thank you, I saw her faith and life intersect and inspired me to try to be the same. It was a lesson and it was one I tried to emulate. Age also brings an appreciation for things that we may have taken for granted at one time. I have a renewed appreciation. Later in life, I got a renewed appreciation for my parents, our parents, and the way that they lived. They were two of the kindest people you would ever meet. They were considerate and caring in all of their dealings with their family, but with everyone with whom they came in contact. They didn't really talk a talk about it. They just walked a walk. I gave no thought to their examples when I was growing up, just the way they were. Then when I was an adult, I realized what they had been and the role models they had been. And I realized that in that aspect, they lived their lives at the intersection of their life, their real life, and their faith. Role models are important to me. Another role model, in retrospect, was Lee Graham, who was the rector of St. John's when I was growing up. I really didn't listen to his sermons at all. They were kind of long, and I was an acolyte, and I wanted them to end so that we could get out of here. But on Sunday nights, he was always with us at EYC. It was a smaller congregation then. We were having fun. He was fun. He was fully engaged in our lives. He was an understated, calming, loving shepherd to his flock. Many years later, he came out of retirement to help St. John's weather the trying times following our split. Lee's life was one that showed me how faith and real life can intersect. Now I think I look for that, because when I see it, I try to do it or try to model myself after it. I see it here at St. John's everywhere. There's so many people doing so many different things, and they're doing it because they love this parish and because they love Jesus. Their efforts and their devotion are amazing. In whatever roles I've had at the church, I saw it everywhere. And they're not doing it for personal gain or for praise, although in doing for others, we do more for ourselves. Our congregation does so much to help parishioners and our wider, larger community in a myriad of ways, and it's all people that I see living their real life and with their real life and their faith intersecting. Seeing it, I appreciate it, and I want to do the same. That's an inspiration I draw from this parish. It's always been around me. I just had to become an adult to become aware of it and then try to do some of it. Living that way is a gift from God, and it's always a work in process. I'll close with the last verse of a hymn that we sing here at St. John's. I sing a song of the saints of God. I think it relates to what Abby asked me to speak about. Let me preface it when I read this last verse by saying there's no way on earth I'll ever be a saint, and I wouldn't aspire to. But this song expresses what I've come to see around me, and that helps me try to see where I can have my life intersect with faith. The last verse goes, they live not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus's will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. Thank you. Amen. I'll leave that with you.